Look here at Luke chapter 2, and this is the famous passage about Christmas, but there's something here maybe we haven't noticed. Chapter 2 of Luke, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Now at this time, Rome controlled all the known world. There were fringe parts maybe where they didn't have very much control, but they were everywhere. They didn't know that much about the East, China, Japan, and of course, over here in the New World, in this new continent, they weren't here. But they were all over Europe and Northern Africa and pretty much everywhere that Western civilization had discovered, Rome controlled. And Caesar Augustus, the head of Rome, decreed everyone should be taxed. He said, we're going to tax everyone. And in order to do that, they had to have a census. They had to know where everyone was and what their name was and how much they made and how much they were going to pay and stuff like that. Verse 2 says, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Joseph was a descendant of royalty. Joseph wasn't just some regular old average guy. I mean, the descendants of David, in direct line from David, I guarantee you were highly respected in the community. Even though Joseph was poor, they had a lot of respect if they could trace their lineage straight back to King David. Those were the princes, basically, in Judah. But Joseph went to Bethlehem because he was the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Now, Mom knows, and Vicky knows, and Anna knows, some of you ladies know what it's like to be great with child. Right? You know what that is like. This is the advanced stages of her pregnancy. This is the last couple of weeks. Verse 6. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And that is actually where we're going to stop. There's more, a whole lot more about the story. But I want us to think about this. I want us to put ourselves in Mary's shoes. And in Joseph's shoes. Now think about this, okay? She's 9 months pregnant. She's probably 36, 37 weeks. No, she's probably 38 weeks or something like that. I just picture in my mind someone was great with child. She's very advanced, the last month for sure. And you ladies know what it's like that you know, your body is this kind of weird shape sometimes, and maybe, you know, Anna's hips don't always work right, so it's kind of hard for her to walk. Or sometimes you see ladies that are great with child, they kind of walk funny a little bit, they waddle. Anna says she tries to avoid the waddle as long as she can. She doesn't want to waddle. But some ladies there, I mean, like the first 2 weeks, they're like, oh, man, oh, goodness, and they're waddling already early. But, you know, you sometimes they say, you know, being pregnant in the summer is really hard because you're just so hot and your body's hormones are doing a lot of crazy things and getting ready to have this baby. It's not comfortable. It's difficult. It's certainly pleasant, but now I'm getting this secondhand reports, but it's uncomfortable to be pregnant in the last month of the pregnancy. And here they are in Nazareth, and they're working away, and Joseph's probably working really hard, probably has plenty of work, I would imagine, I would hope, and he's expecting this baby to be born any day. And then somebody comes along, and I don't know exactly how it happened. The Bible doesn't say, but somebody comes along somehow and says, all right, everybody come out to the town square. And they decree and cry to them, everyone must be taxed, and so you must make plans now. Rome probably maybe didn't give you a lot of time to prepare. You got to go to your lineage home and be counted. Everyone. And you can imagine in the crowd, everyone goes, what? Oh, and they just moan. And you got to be kidding me. Can you imagine if right now, you know, you're at your house some evening and you hear on the news, it is decreed today, the president signed into law the census decree, but the census has to happen in a particular town, the town where you were born, where your birth certificate lies. So you must go back to the town in which you were born to be counted. Can you imagine how inconvenient that would be for us now? I mean, I would have to go all the way back to Elyria, Ohio. You know? Mom would have to go to Salem, Oregon. I mean, that would be highly inconvenient. The government was being oppressive to the people. They were demanding something of them that was probably challenging for most of them, unless they had stayed in their ancestral home. Joseph had to go all the way back to Bethlehem. Now, who found out how far it is? Truman.
The internet says it was probably 90 miles the way they took it.
90. Is that what you found, Greg? Mouth of two or three witnesses. Hallelujah. That's the truth. We got it from the internet, so, you know, it's a shaky source, but think about this, okay? 90 miles. Now, ladies, they didn't have cars. Now, I don't read in the Bible anywhere it says that they had a donkey, though that's always portrayed in the pictures, right, and the stories and the movies. They had a donkey for her to ride on. But I was recently told that the terrain between Nazareth and Bethlehem would have been challenging to ride a donkey on. And so there would have been large portions of it that Mary would have had to walk. Now, how many of you have ever walked a mile? It's longer than you think, isn't it? Yeah. One time I hiked in the mountains of South Texas, 14 miles in one day, and I was beat at the end of the day. 14 is a fraction of 90. That is a long way to go, 90 miles, and you got to walk it. You got to hike. And you might get to ride if Joseph was able to bring a donkey, but a lot of it you're going to have to walk. And you're 9 months pregnant. This is not a nice day.
No wonder she delivered.
No wonder she delivered. She walked it, yeah. That's what they say. If you need to induce labor, go walking. So this would not have been easy for Joseph either. He's got to take a 9-month pregnant woman 90 miles by foot to his ancestral home. Why? So they can write my name in a book somewhere. So I can pay taxes to the government. I can just imagine that conversation in their home when they found out that they're going to have to do this. And she's going, Joseph, do I have to walk all the way to Bethlehem? Do I have to go? Can't you just go? And he's probably going, well, I don't want to not be here when you have the baby, because guarantee you, the family was probably not being that supportive because of the circumstances of her pregnancy. Joseph is claiming her. She's his espoused wife. And so everyone would have assumed that this child was his and that they would have conceived the child out of wedlock before they came together in matrimony. And so there was scandal, and there was probably, they were looking down their nose. There maybe wasn't a whole lot of ladies that were willing to help Mary out to have this baby, because she would have been ostracized and looked down upon. So what do we do? I guess you got to come. You can't have the baby here by yourself. We'll go to Bethlehem. Maybe you'll have the baby there. Maybe we'll have to come back, but you can have the baby in Bethlehem. It'll be okay. We'll be all right. Well, they get on the road, and there's thousands and thousands of people also on the road. Talk about Christmas traffic. I mean, goodness gracious. This everywhere, people, because they're all going to their ancestral home. So it was crowded. It was inconvenient. It was difficult. It was oppressive from the government. And yet, but the Bible says there was prophecies predicted that the Messiah must be born in Bethlehem. The Messiah was to come from the city of David, which was Bethlehem itself. And in the midst of this inconvenient and difficult circumstance that Joseph and Mary faced, God's hand was at work. God had prepared a group of shepherds on a hillside and a group of wise men from the east to come to this spot in Bethlehem. We don't know for sure the Magi were at the stable, were in the place where he was born, but it was not that long afterwards that they arrived. But it was in Bethlehem. They came to where they were. God was directing things to happen. And it was through the very inconvenient and oppressive decree of Caesar, the Roman Caesar, who decreed that all the world should be taxed. It was through that that God brought his son to be born in Bethlehem. It was through that very inconvenient difficulty, that God was bringing about his will, that God was directing the circumstances of the world to happen exactly right, at exactly the right time, with heavenly bodies, this amazing Christmas star that directed the Magi to a house, to a specific house. How does a star do that? The movements of the heavens, the movements of kings in the earth, the bringing together of certain shepherds. You think God knew exactly who the shepherds were and what their lives were like and why they needed to see the Messiah himself? You think he didn't prepare them for that moment? God is bringing this all about. And yet, in the moment, I can imagine on the way from Nazareth to Bethlehem that Mary would have been tempted to complain, to whine. Why do I have to go 90 miles to Bethlehem? I'm about to have a baby. This is unbelievably hard. Why would you do this? I would be tempted to complain. If I were in her shoes, or if I was in Joseph's shoes, I would be whining. I would be going, oh, I can't believe I got to do this. Oh, it's so frustrating. I wish we'd get back to the Constitution of Israel and get this back to where way things were. Wish Israel would be reconstituted and have to suffer under the boot of these horrible Romans. That's what I'd be doing. And yet, God's hand is at work. Providence is moving the forces of the world to bring his son to be born in Bethlehem. Now let me bring it home for you. How many times does something inconvenient happen in your life? How many times does something irritating occur in your life? How many times are we genuinely oppressed by some other power? Is there something difficult that we have to do? There's maybe our boss tells us we got to do something hard that we don't want to do. Maybe our governing authorities, our governor, our president, or whoever, a judge somewhere, it decrees something that is very, very irritating. Or wrong, even. It's oppressive. Governments are sometimes oppressive. Maybe there's something that happens in your life that you just cannot understand why God is allowing this to happen. Things would be so much easier if we could just be at home, Lord, and have the baby right there in Nazareth where we're comfortable. But God insisted on an uncomfortable thing to happen. How many times are you made to be uncomfortable in your life? How many of those times do you think God is working out plans in the world that we have no idea about? How many times has something inconvenient and uncomfortable happened to us and God has used it to orchestrate his providential plan in our lives and in the lives of others, to bring about his glory, to draw people to him. You know, if somehow, if me having to jump through some inconvenient, uncomfortable, difficult hoop, if somehow paying my taxes every year, which is irritating to me, because I think they're taking too much, if for some reason that is able to bring someone to Christ, if the plans of God in the world to bring himself glory depend upon my taxes, it makes me a little bit easier about paying them. I can endure those irritating, uncomfortable moments a little better if I remember God's hand is at work. And I do not know the amazing and powerful things that he is intending to do through those uncomfortable moments. Mary and Joseph experienced an uncomfortable, irritating moment, and yet God's hand was guiding it to occur, to bring about something that was so incredibly beautiful and so wonderful and fulfilling prophecies made thousands of years, hundreds of years before. God is still doing that today. God is working in the world, in our lives, and in the lives of those around us. And if I have to endure a little uncomfort, or maybe a lot of uncomfort, in order for that to happen, I'm willing to endure it. Are you? Next time something like that happens to you, remember Joseph and Mary, and remember that God's hand is working in ways very mysterious. We cannot always understand, and we must simply trust. There are some days you can't do anything but trust and say, Lord, this is a pain in the neck. I really don't like this. I'm not sure why you're making me walk this path, but I accept it, and I trust you to have a greater and bigger plan in mind. Some days that's all you can say, but it will help. Trust in the Lord today, for he knows those irritating moments, and he has a plan for those too. Let's pray. Lord God, we give you glory and we thank you for the way in which you work in the world and the way in which you draw others to yourself. We pray that you would continue to allow us to play a part, to have a role in the saving of men's souls. We give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.